and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion as we face the issues we're talking about today, an important issue. It's a timely issue. It's an issue that every Christian, conservative, and patriot should recognize as being a possibility, a problematic, plus a great opportunity. We're talking about Trump is coming. A lot of folks got their eyes on Washington in the past several days, and on the 20th of January, just a few days hence, President Trump is to be inaugurated, sworn in as our 47th president. And the question is, how are you viewing this? What shall we look forward to? What will take place in the next few days? We have the partisan judge that's wanting to sentence Trump on the 10th, just 10 days before Inauguration Day. Will that take place? Can it be stopped? And what is the problem with him pushing for it to go forward? We'll be talking about that and other things today in relationship to what can we expect over the next several days and the early portion of Donald J. Trump's presidency as the 47th president in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sure that it looks like, you've seen it, it looks like Joe Biden is fully determined to undermine everything that President Donald Trump intends to do and try to make America safe again. The present president is behind the scenes attempting to Trump-proof the entirety of the federal government. It is a very serious thing that I think that we're looking at, and we need to talk about that today. And as we talk about that, let me remind you that we're facing the issues based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. In John 8:31 and 32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, the Bible makes a declaratory statement about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says the truth of the Lord endures forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're living in a society today where there's a real consternation in relationship to what is truth, how you make the determination of truth. It was the secularist George Orwell, in his dystopian novel entitled 1984, said that further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true today. But ladies and gentlemen, truth matters regardless of what era you live in. Truth matters regardless of the side of the aisle that you're on. Truth matters, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of what others may say. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Former Senator Jim DeMint made this statement in part, "Truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible." If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint said, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. So, ladies and gentlemen, as we see Christianity fumbling and falling and the apostasy taking place, we're finding that vacuum, that void, being filled by everything that is false, everything that is a partial truth. In fact, the recent survey says most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. In fact, 55% of that age group, the millennial age group, make this statement. Each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, a half truth is a whole lie. No such thing as a partial truth. It's either truth or it's false. It's either a full truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, or it's a lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's our approach on this broadcast each and every day, is to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn it, love it, tell it, and be willing to defend it even to death. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find there's a remonstration, if you will, against truth. There's a battle today, and the battle is for the soul of America. The battle today is a battle between God and Satan. The battle today is a battle between our Satan and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it should cause every Christian, every conservative, to recognize the need for us to stand for truth and to listen to truth and learn the truth and defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment, and they have a full line of the Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole at the on the campus of Tools for Time. Top of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, flows the U.S. flag, All Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline. We'll touch on a couple of two or three things in our monologue, and then we'll go to our callers. But ladies and gentlemen, this headline says, Biden awards the highest civilian honor to George Soros and Hillary Clinton. President Joe Biden named 19 recipients of the Presidential Medal of Freedom on Saturday, including former Democratic nominee Hillary Clinton and billionaire globalist George Soros. The Presidential Medal of Freedom is the highest civilian honor that is awarded to those who have made significant contributions to the prosperity, listen to this, to the prosperity values, our security of the United States, world peace, or other significant societal, public or private endeavors, according to the White House press release. President Biden believes great leaders keep the faith, give everyone a fair shot, and put decency above all else, according to the press release. This article reads otherwise. As Biden's presidential term comes to a close, he has also commemorated former Republican Representative Liz Cheney of Wyoming with the Presidential Citizens Medal of Honor on Friday. Biden praised Clinton for having made history many times and George Soros for his global initiative that he claims strengthens democracy, strengthens human rights, strengthens education, and social justice around the world, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing today, I believe, Biden's final struggle, Joe Biden's final effort, waving the magic wand of the socialist, Marxist, communist regime and its agenda to Trump-proof America and to somehow, some way undermine what President Trump will do as he goes into office. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, the Presidential Medal of Freedom that's been given by Biden is the most anti-American to the most anti-American individuals that's so unbelievable. Although every conservative, Christian, and patriot now looks forward to with anticipation what the coming Trump administration can do for America, I think we need to be careful. Hear me. I think as Americans, as Christians, as conservatives, as patriots, we need to be very, very careful. The Bible is very, very clear that we ought to have a place of hope and trust in the Lord. And the Bible is clear also, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 147, verse 3, that we ought not to place our hope and our trust in man. That's 146, verse 3, that we shouldn't put our trust in man, but in God. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm saying that at the very outset of this broadcast because as we look at what is taking place and the swirling, and these last 12 or 14 days, before Trump's inauguration, I'm wondering what we can see as, you know, the old cliche, the second shoe dropping. Wonder what the second shoe drop will be like. What will take place in about the next 10, 12 days that could be very, very devastating for our nation? And listen, I don't put anything past the potentiality and the possibility, even the probability, of what the Biden administration will attempt to do in these last few days. Let me just share the headline and a couple of sentences from one other article, then we'll introduce our guest for today and start taking our callers online. Foreign infiltration of this government agency has Americans worried sick. The enemies of the United States are running on all cylinders, and they finally made a breakthrough. Now this foreign infiltration of U.S. government agencies has Americans worried sick. A Chinese state-backed cyber actor breached U.S. Treasury Department systems early this month, getting access to the unclassified documents through a cloud service intrusion, officials revealed to the Senate committee. The hackers exploited the vulnerability in a third-party security system, which detected the breach on December the 8th and alerted the Treasury Department. I could go on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, another headline. China orders the largest military buildup since the 1930s in Germany. So, ladies and gentlemen, the point that I make in setting the stage today, we are looking at, listening to, and with open arms as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, welcoming the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump. But what does that connote? What will be, what could be, what probably will be the difficulties in the next few days to try to prevent Trump from being inaugurated, try to prevent him from being seated as the 47th president? The intentions are there. The Democrat Representative Jamie Raskin has already said that about 57% of the Democrats are going to refuse to seat Trump. And he has said that they will plan to ask the Supreme Court to prevent Trump from being seated because, and I quote, the Democrats say that Trump is a convicted felon and a convicted insurrectionist. And according to the 14th Amendment, as they understand it, Trump ought not to be inaugurated as president. So what say you? That's the question as we talk about. Trump is coming. Today, I'm delighted, ladies and gentlemen, to have a very special guest. We've had this special guest on with us before, but this will be the first time in the brand new year. By the way, may I just take a moment to say Happy New Year to all of our listeners. Thank you for tuning in day by day, week by week, and the year gone by. And we're looking forward to this new year as we continue to face the issues with the issues that affect and should impact the lives of every Christian, conservative, and patriot, and how we should respond to it. And the whole bottom line is we need to look at all of the world events, local events, statewide events through the prism of the Word of God. God's Word has the answer. There's no other answer for man outside the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, it's our pleasure today to introduce to you, perhaps you've heard him before and perhaps you have not, to introduce to you to our audience, Let's Face the Issue special guest, Congressman Mike Hill. Congressman Hill is former District 1 representative for the state of Florida. Welcome to Let's Face the Issues, Congressman Hill, in this brand new year. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me. It's always an honor and a pleasure. You have a fantastic show and a great audience that has built up over the many years that you've been doing this, and it is an honor for me to be a part of it.
Well, you're a blessing to me personally. You're a blessing, I think, to our audience. By the way, let me say this. I had the privilege of meeting a couple. We had my wife and I after church yesterday decided we'd go to Waffle House for a steak and eggs breakfast. We usually enjoy that. And the booth sitting next to us was a couple that is in Jacksonville that I'd not met. He has a ministry called Man in the Mirror Ministries. And we got started in a conversation, and I discovered that they say we listen to your broadcast every day, and we had a few minutes talking about that. They said we love to hear Congressman Hill when you interview him. And so your renown has gone before you, and I am thankful for you and your position that we take together as we talk about the issues that face America. I've got a number of questions today, Congressman Hill, but I think what we're going to do is simply ask you to do this. Take a few moments and talk about what you feel from your perspective as a Christian, as a conservative, as a patriot, from your perspective, Just number them, and then we'll start taking our callers. We've got some waiting. What do you think of the top four issues that should concern Christians and conservatives at this very moment?
Well, I think number one, Dr. Youngblood, is the transition that's going to take place between the Trump administration and his Biden regime. I think that the Democrats have recognized that they probably will not have the presidency for a number of terms. And because of that, that's why we see the Biden regime making these outrageous statements and actions the past couple of weeks. For example, commuting the prison sentences and the death convictions of a number of notorious criminals. And so they start off with nonsense like that. And then more recently, we see them presenting this presidential award to a number of people. Now, to do a ceremony like that, it takes planning. And so he didn't plan this within the past week or two. A number of those individuals were probably already scheduled, you know, maybe 2 months ago, let's say a month ago, at least since Kamala lost the presidency. So they probably had it start scheduling it shortly after that. But I would almost guarantee you that to add those people such as Hillary Clinton and George Soros, notorious people who really, he cheapened the honor of that award tremendously by giving it to those people. There were others he gave it to. There were 19 altogether. Magic Johnson, I mean, so what? He played basketball, you know, and Denzel Washington, okay, he's a good actor. But you know, Hillary Clinton and George Soros and some of the others, he did that because, or his regime did that because they know that they're not going to have the presidency for 4, 8, perhaps even 12 years from now. By then, George Soros and Hillary Clinton are probably going to be dead. So he went ahead and gave it to them because there won't be another opportunity. And on top of that, I believe that was the Democrats' way of just poking President Trump and Americans in the eye, mm-hmm. saying, this is what we think about you. This is what we think about your love for the Constitution, for your love for America. This is what we think about it. And it was just a poke in the eye. It was done intentionally to try and raise the ire of President Trump and his and the MAGA movement of Americans. And so this transition that we see taking place, there's no telling what they're going to do within the next 14 days or so. They're probably scrambling, thinking of things that we got to get done because we're not going to have this opportunity again. That being said, another thing with this whole transition is that Trump's nominees for his cabinet positions must be confirmed by the Senate. Now, Dr. Youngblood, I know you and I discussed this before, and you were saying that the president should be able to just pick who his cabinet is. After all, it is his cabinet. And I subtly disagreed with you because I said they need to be confirmed because then the American people have a voice in who's going to be on that cabinet. But in retrospect, Dr. Youngblood, I looked at it, just a little more detail after that, and I've come to agree with you more. The president should be able to pick who he wants for his cabinet. And then it is all on him as to how they perform. Biden did it. He picked a number of horrendous people for his cabinet and other positions, and the Republicans rolled over and gave him his cabinet.
That's right. They should
do the same thing now. The Republicans should back his nominees. None of this saying, well, I have some concern about this. It's his cabinet. Now, once they get in there, then you hold them accountable for their actions, what they do. So I think that transition is probably the number one issue that I would have going into 2025. Number two, Dr. Youngblood, is what's happening at the border and deporting the illegal aliens. One of the nominees, Mr. Holman, said, hey, we're going to do this day one. And, of course, they're going to do it, but it is not going to be easy, Dr. Youngblood.
Right.
But we need to do it. It needs to be done, but that is not going to be easy. That is going to be a battle. And the Democrats are going to fight it every way they can. And the liberal churches are going to fight it every way they can. These blue states, these blue cities are going to fight it the entire. It is not going to be easy, and it is going to take years to get that done. So closing that border and deporting those illegal immigrants, that's a huge deal that has to be done. And then number three, getting this economy back on track. Now, I think that's going to, again, that's not going to be easy to do. The Democrats have ran it into the ground, but it can be done by lowering taxes, and Trump has already announced a number of tax cuts and that he wants to do, not only tax cuts, but getting rid of taxes, such as on tips and Social Security. That would be huge to do that. And again, that won't be easy. The Democrats are going to fight that every way. They're going to fight it as much as they can to their own detriment. But cutting taxes, getting rid of unnecessary regulations, opening up our energy sector is going to help turn this economy around quickly. And also these tariffs. Now, I'm sorry I'm going a little long-winded on this.
No, won't you hear that? Go ahead.
A number of economists, especially my libertarian friends at the Mises Institute and others, say that tariffs don't work, that they harm Americans, it's a tax on Americans because the tariff raises the prices that Americans have to pay. And there is truth to that. The thing is, though, is tariffs have to be used as if you are going to war. It has to be a specific objective. It has to be limited, and it has to be targeted. In other words, you just can't say, we're going to put a tariff on all imported steel to protect our steel industry. No, that's too broad, too wide open. Mm-hmm. But if you can say things like, we are going to put a tariff on Mexican imports until you stop bringing those illegals into our country. Then it is specific, there's an objective behind it, and it's measurable. Tariffs like that work. We can put a tariff on Chinese products until they stop stealing our technology, refurbishing it, and then selling it to us. Put tariffs on products that they do things like that on. So, again, all that's going to help turn this economy around, and we are in for a rough ride the next 14 days, Dr. Youngblood, and actually for the next 4 years with Trump as president.
Absolutely. That's a good synoptic overview of what we see taking place. In fact, Congressman Hill, I have said, as you alluded to a moment ago, I have said that we're going to see major, major, major difficulties in the next several days. One of them being this warped judge in New York that's wanting to sentence Donald Trump, President Trump, on the 10th. That's 10 days before he's to be inaugurated. In your opinion, tell us, why is it so important to that judge to have an open, and he's commanded by court order that Trump be in the courtroom for that sentencing? What is the motive? What is the purpose? Where is it going? How will it affect the rumblings before the inauguration, or will it have an effect at all? Make a statement about that, and then we'll take our first caller.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, the whole idea is to carry on this nonsense of trying to stop Trump from being elected in the first place. All of this lawfare was election interference, and now that they've gotten to this point, what Merchan, who he's despicable, what he is going to do is he's going to sentence Trump so that the Democrats, as you said in your monologue, can say, look, we have a convicted felon here.
Yes.
We are not going to seat him, and the Supreme Court needs to back us up on this. That's the whole purpose of this. I don't think it's going to work. In fact, I know it's not going to work, because everything that Merchan did was unconstitutional and illegal.
Yes.
It should be thrown out completely. So he's going through with this charade just to help the Democrats try to not confirm Trump's his whole inauguration. It's the only reason why he's doing this, and I believe he should be impeached for doing
Absolutely.
That. But because it's at the state of New York, that the state legislature has to do it, and they won't do that, all the Democrats there.
Absolutely. Hold your thoughts for a moment, Congressman Hill. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great. I pray that you are.
Doing well. As far as tariffs go, there was another scenario that the congressman representative left out, and that is tariffs against American-based companies that are doing production or manufacturing overseas to kind of give them a little boost to bring that back home. As far as Merchan goes, this man should have recused himself. His daughter is a major Democratic PAC fundraiser, and she raised millions of dollars off of this very scenario where Donald Trump is being charged because he mislabeled something as a legal fee whenever he gave money to another lawyer to do a hush money payment. This is no different than the congressional slush fund that's currently in our government right now for representatives of the states and senators that allows them to pay off individuals that may slur them that might actually have a basis in truth. So it to me, this Daniels character was after a money grab, and she colluded with a lawyer in order to get this money, and this prosecutor, Bragg, up there in cooperation with the DOJ and this judge brought these charges. Because if you've read the jury instructions, there is no crime there. They gave such a broad definition on it. If you even think he's guilty, basically is what he put out there. It's a complete sham.
Yes, Jim, I'll take just a couple of minutes at the most to kind of wrap up some of your thoughts, and then we'll throw it back to Congressman Hill right after the news. I see there is a screeching halt coming to an end for this Fannie Willis case in Georgia, for the Bragg case in New York, and for this case now with Merchan, the judge there in New York. I think that they've all recognized the failure but will not turn it loose. In fact, one of the things that I think has taken place with that, most have not recognized it, but it was all coordinated and carried out of Merrick Garland's office, the DOJ, and out of the direct directives from the White House, Joe Biden, and yet Biden claimed not to have anything to do with it, didn't know anything about it. But all of the lawfare was orchestrated, carried out, promulgated out of the Oval Office with Joe Biden through the DOJ, Merrick Garland's office, and then all of these other, quote, prosecutors across the nation were going in and out of the DOJ's office, collaborating and making the decision how they could cripple Trump or destroy Trump or prevent Trump from running for president. So, Jim, it deserves conservative Methodist Christians and patriots. It deserves all of our prayers and all of our considerations, especially in the next 12 to 14 days. Jim, thank you so much for your call, and Happy New Year to you and your family. And hang on, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have the top of the hour news, and right after the news, we'll be right back as we face the issue.
In Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine, WATY Folkston.
With SRN News,